At the end of the day, if your goal is to sell the property in a year or two, then that might make sense because you're driving the NOI. And if you're selling off T12, T6, whatever it happens to be, it's going to look really good. But if that's not your plan and you're holding this for a while, then I know a lot of people listen, they're buying rentals. This is going to kill that cash flow.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Hey guys, this is for today's Multifamily Money, our Multifamily Monday episode, the 11th of December, 2023. All right, welcome back to the Multifamily Money podcast. I'm your host, Sean Winslow. And on today's Multifamily Monday episode, I want to talk to you about turnover. Yes, turnover. Should you be raising rent? By how much should you be raising rent? And what are the causes and effects that are associated with that? This is an age-old question. You'll acquire a property, rents will be low, and you'll want to increase them, right? The two main reasons that I've at least discovered why you increase rent is one, a value-add project, right? You come in, you can improve the property, usually aesthetically, and you can then charge more rent, right? More amenities, improve the units, the common areas, and so have you, and then you can justifiably charge more rent. The other is the current owner has just been lagging market. And we'll get to that later on, generally why that owner, you know, would be lagging market. Those are generally the two, or it could be a combination of both, right? Those are kind of the two big ones on how we can push rent. But the question is, should we? Now you may be thinking, Sean, what do you mean, should we? That's the whole game of this business, right? Is increase rent, reduce expenses, increase the NOI so then we can sell for a higher value down the road. And yes, that's true. But sometimes you have to look at things a little deeper and more strategically, because on a spreadsheet and on a piece of paper, that looks great, right? 10% rent growth in year one, maybe 8 to 12% year two, and then a steady 3% thereafter, right? Combined with an increasing NOI and a decreasing cap rate, that's a story for a lot of success. But just as I said, that's on paper, that's on a model. That looks great on Excel, but what's reality? And reality is something called turnover and the costs that are associated with it. I wanted to talk about this today because I recently had a meeting with one of my property management companies that we use, and it was about increasing rents, right? So we always do that analysis. We look at rents across the entire portfolio and compare them to market, right? And most of the time, you're going to have units that are lagging market, especially if you have more of a stabilized portfolio that you've had for years. You're generally going to have that. And, you know, if you're looking at your Excel model, the answer would be yes, raise those rents, right? We got to hit these projections. And not even just that, but if I increase it and then apply this cap rate, look at this value I'm adding. That makes sense, right? But you got to look a little deeper. What happens when you non-renew someone, or what happens when you give them a rent increase? They don't accept it because it's a large rent increase, and then you got to go fill the unit. Now, if you give them a large rent increase and they accept it, then good for you. That is good, right? Good business. That could be argued, right? You're not really giving them value, but you are bringing them to market. So good for you, right? But what if they don't accept? What happens next? Well, one, you got to go find a new tenant to fill that unit. But before you do that, you're going to go inspect the unit and see what work is going to need to be done before you can put that unit back online and get market rent. And that can cause a whole plethora of issues, right? You could have to go in, maybe you only have to do $1,000 to $2,000. And in today's market, I would be very hard to only spend $1,000 on a unit turn. However, you get in there and it could be a unit where there'd been a legacy tenant where they've been in there for decades, and you're going to have to spend, you know, $10,000+ on that unit. That's a lot of money. Now, on top of that, you also have the carrying costs. Well, what are the carrying costs? Well, you're going to have to pay the electric you're going to have to use for that unit while you're working on it. If it's in the winter, you're definitely going to be using heat, or if it's in the summer, you might have the AC on for some of the punch list items. You're going to be paying these utilities. And so those are the carrying costs. And the biggest carrying cost of them all is an opportunity cost. And what that is the rent that you're not generating from that vacant unit. For example, just use a round number. Let's say that rent at market could get $1,000. Well, if it takes you half a month to turn that unit and get it filled, that's $500 right there in a carrying cost that you're not getting because you're missing that revenue. If it takes you a full month to turn that unit and fill it, that's $1,000. Now, if it takes you 2 months, it's $2,000. Keeps going and going. Those are real numbers. Yeah, it's not money you're giving out in terms of paying for an expense, but it's money you're not generating and pulling in to run the property. And that's something we really have to consider. And this goes back to the point of buying a property from an owner that's had it for many years and them lagging market rent. And it's most likely not because they're a bad operator and just not keeping up with the times or having a really good heart and not wanting to raise rents on their tenants. Yeah, there might be some of that for sure. But majority of the time, it's because turnover is always your biggest expense and it kills profitability, your biggest profit killer. Now, at the beginning of a deal, yes, if you come in with a large CapEx budget, that's your plan, right? You're just going to turn and burn. That makes sense. You have a large CapEx budget, you have reserves, that's the game plan. You're getting that property to a level that you can then go get market rent. That makes perfect sense. But once we're past that, that's what this conversation is about. And to my point earlier, yes, it looks good on a spreadsheet when you can increase the rent by 10, maybe 20%, what people were getting, 12, 24 months ago. Yes, that makes sense. And if you can achieve that, great. But in market conditions like today, in more normal market conditions, that's harder to achieve without doing any work to the unit. So just from a number standpoint, because it's always great to look at the numbers. Again, let's use $1,000 for the month, right? Monthly rent. That's what you're currently getting at the unit, or that's what you can get at the unit. Maybe that's a $100 increase, right? So currently you can get $1,000. Obviously, maybe you increase that by 10%. Let's use 1,000 as the base, right? So you're currently getting 1,000. You can increase it by 10%. 10% would give you $100. $100 times 12. We all know that's $1,200. So that's what you can increase in revenue throughout the year. Now, say we give them the current tenant that rent increase. They don't accept it. They move out. We have to fill it. Now, let's say we go in, we inspect the unit, and let's say we have to put in $2,000. And I'm being very generous on $2,000 because I guarantee it's going to be more than $2,000 to turn this unit. I just did a unit and it was $2,500 just for the paint. But let's say it's $2,000. Plus, let's say you have a fast team that they can turn the unit and fill it in half a month. Now, some might argue that's not fast, and I agree with it. I think you should be able to turn a unit in 48 to 72 hours, especially if it's a light turn like this. But let's just say it's half a month, so we can use another. The reason why I want to use half a month is because there's not a lot of great teams out there. Now, you should strive to be a great team, 100%. But what I've seen is most people takes a substantial amount of time to turn a unit. So let's add another $500. That's $2,500 between the money, the CapEx money, and the holding cost of the rent. And this is not even factoring in any other holding costs, but let's just call it $2,500. It's going to cost you $2,500 to turn that unit to then get that $1,200. That's going to take some time to pay that back, right? At the end of the day, if your goal maybe is to sell the property in a year or two, then that might make sense, right? Because you're driving that NOI. And if you're selling off a T12, T6, whatever it happens to be, T3, it's going to look really good. But if that's not your plan and you're holding this for a while, and this is something I know a lot of people listen, they're buying rentals for cash flow. This is going to kill that cash flow. Now, what if you only raise them by 2.5%? That's $25 on a $1,000 rent. Now you're making 25 times 12, make an extra $300. Yeah, that's a year. That's not sexy compared to the $1,200, but now you're not spending $100 on CapEx and holding costs. So where you were, $1,200 minus $2,500, where you were losing $1,300, for the year, now you're making $300. So this turnover is what kills you. Now, on average, if you're losing $1,300 in the first year of doing a turn like that, and say you did it on 10 units, talking 13 grand. And that times 100, that's 130 grand. That's costly, right? Now, again, if this is a value add property, that's it's a whole different story, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a stabilized property. Now you're coming in, yes, you're increasing that rent, but it kills you on the holding costs and the CapEx. Especially if you don't have the budget per se to be doing that. And on top of that, another thing to look at is what time of year it is. Why this is important right now is because I'm recording this in December. Generally, from Thanksgiving to New Year's is one of the worst times to rent in the United States generally. That is because you have Thanksgiving, you have Christmas, you have New Year's. And generally, no one wants to move during those times. They just want to relax, settle in, enjoy the holidays with their family. And then after New Year's, then go look for a new apartment. So in times like this, it's really hard to fill units. And generally, if you do, you're going to be paying less than you could, you know, pay in some of these hotter months, right? Generally, not always, but generally what you're going to fill in December is going to be the rate is going to be less than what you could fill, say, in June, July, spring and summer, right? It just is. So you got to factor that too. We had the property management company come to us about a couple weeks ago asking us if we wanted to raise rents. And you really have to look at it because yes, you want to, but turnover will kill you. And turnover in this market will really kill. So let's say back to our example, if you could have get $100 more in rent, say you're renting this out in the spring and the summer, maybe right now you could only get 50 more because of the time of year and also the market condition we're in. So in some markets right now, you couldn't even get more. You might have to actually less, but in the markets I'm in currently, we're lucky enough, blessed enough that we still are able to get higher rents than we had on previous leases or higher in the market, I should say. So let's say you're only able to get 50. Well, 50 times 12, 600, right? Minus 2,500, you're losing $1,900 on that unit in the first year. That's a lot of money, right? Again, if you're doing that 10 units hit in this month across your portfolio, that's $19,000. 100 hit on your portfolio across this month, that's $190,000. So what I prefer to do when I'm in this situation where, you know, a lease comes due this time of year, unless I have some guarantee, maybe housing voucher, Section 8, or something like that, where they want to come in, it's actually higher than market, which can happen, then maybe I will consider it. But generally what we do is we let the resident, that tenant, go to month to month. Now, obviously, if we're doing a value-add project, that's completely different. We want to see that happen so then we can go, you know, renovate the unit. But if this is stabilized property, we're just going to returning now, you know, I will let the resident go month to month, and then we will reassess during a time when it's a better leasing environment. So spring in the summer, that's how we do it. It's not just looking at the fact that you can raise rent by X. You have to factor in all aspects of it. Yes, I can increase rent by X, but how much do I have to spend, right? And that's the whole, I've talked about this in previous episodes too. It's the whole ROI, like what are you able to achieve by that money you're putting in, right? What is that rate of return? Now, if I'm able to get $300-$400 and doing that same turn, then that's going to be a great ROI over the long term, right? Just look at it as losing money, right? It's going to be a great ROI over the long term. But again, it depends where you are on the market cycle of your property, right? Are you at the beginning where you're really turning this property and then letting it coast? Then yeah, you want to do that. Or is it more you're already in that coasting phase and you want to operate it efficiently? All right, guys, I just wanted to get on here and share that because I recently had this conversation, like I said, with my property management company. And I feel sometimes this topic is very overlooked and how it can really hurt you, right? Because that loss of income for however long it takes to fill you. And in a market, I mean, in the time of year like it is today, it could be extended. One, it could take you to get people to actually work during this year to turn the unit. It could take you, if you don't have an in-house team already, if you're subbing it out, which most people do, it could take you a good month to turn the unit itself, right? And then to find someone during this time. So if you had started in November and then you turned it in December, you know, maybe you couldn't even fill it till we get into January. That's 2 months. So at $1,000, that's $2,000 of holding costs and just rent that you're not able to generate on top of the $2,000 in turns. Now that's generous again, right? So that's $4,000. Now, if it's really realistically what it is, a light turn's probably more like $5,000. And then if you're doing it could be, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 somewhere in there. Heavy renovation is probably 8 to 12, 15 plus on the really top end. That's real money. And if you're starting out, that's going to kill your cash flow. Now, if it was scale, that's a different story. But when you're starting out, that's going to kill your cash flow. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, if you found value out of this episode, please share it with someone who you think could get value, because that's how we get in front of more eyes and ears. And that's the purpose of the show, to help those we can. So I can impart what I've learned on others to help their journey to achieve their goals. And if you haven't done so, please leave a rating review. That helps us get in front of more eyes and ears as well. and I would appreciate it. And as always, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so you can create the lives of your dreams. Because after all, personal excellence is what's going to make this world a better place. All right, everybody, catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.